Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In Jeremiah 17:12, the Word of God says, "A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary." A glorious high throne from the beginning. We have a sanctuary, and that sanctuary is present from the beginning. And it is a glorious and high throne. It is a place of great majesty and great honor. And it is the place of my sanctuary. Now that word sanctuary there in the original language is the word mikdash. And it's an interesting word because I usually think of a sanctuary as a protecting place, a hiding place. And in fact, in some respects it is, but that's not what it's saying here. But the secondary effect of it is that it is a protecting place and a hiding place, but that's not the primary meaning. The primary meaning is that it is a place of sanctification. So the glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of my sanctification. Now, this has an extremely important meaning in the believer's life. You see, every single one of us is going to the place where we are going to be tested. And we are going to be in a tribulation of one sort or another. Now, I'm not referring on the internet to the Great Tribulation. The Bible makes a clean, clear-cut distinction between tribulation and Great Tribulation. But we are all promised tribulation, not Great Tribulation. We are all promised tribulation. And when I enter into the tribulation of God, then I must enter into Ephesians 2:8. Because there is no possible way that the testings of God, that the tribulation of God, are going to be overcome if I do not enter into Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For grace are you saved through faith." You see, when I am in a place where I feel overwhelmed, when I am in the place that I feel like I don't know what to do, when I am in the place that I feel like it is bigger than me, then I am in the place exactly where God put me. And He planned it, and I'm not going to avoid it because I belong to Him, and He planned it. He planned the place where I am not sufficient. And I'll guarantee you, the day is coming, if it hasn't come already, that you will be in that place. And not only once, but many times in your life. And some of you already know that. And you will feel like you are completely insufficient for the task, like you are a sinking boat, your life is a train wreck, and you can't get anything at all together. At that time, withdraw and hide. No. At that time, by grace are you saved through faith. You see, that word saved there is not merely salvation of the soul. It means also delivered. The time when I come into places where they are too big for me are the times when I turn to the throne of grace. And I respond to the throne of grace in faith. And in this way, I am delivered. And the verse continues, "And that not of yourselves, lest any man should boast." In other words, your deliverance will not come through your own ability. And your deliverance will not come through your production. And your deliverance will not come in your ability to handle the situation and to control the circumstance. So long as I'm looking for my deliverance in these places, I'm going to end up with great frustration. Your deliverance will come by grace through faith. And that is the only place where God offers it. But that is the place where I will find it in its fullness and its richness. You see, when these times come, I have to keep in my heart the fact that in Hebrews 4:15, I do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of my infirmities. Now, what are my infirmities? My infirmities may be my weakness, but it also may be my frustration. My infirmity may be my insufficiency. My infirmity may be any host of things that leaves me coming up short. You know what? You're always going to come up short. Because what I am coming up short of is what God has initiated. And a human, a man, cannot come up to the level of God. So I will always come up short. So what do? I realize that I don't have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of my infirmities. In other words, God gets it. God gets it when I feel like I'm a train wreck. God gets it when I feel very frustrated. God gets it when I feel very insecure. And you know what? He even gets it when I'm doubting Him. He gets it. But He doesn't say, stay there because I get it. God says, I completely get where you are and I understand it and I know how you feel. I know what that does in your heart and I know what that does in your emotions and I know what that does in your thinking. I get it. But then He says something else. He follows that thought immediately with, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. That word come is the present middle deponent subjunctive. It means keep coming, and if you keep coming, it has an outcome. So what He says is, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. That word boldly means, not in an arrogant way and not in a boisterous, proud way. That word means with complete frankness. In other words, come to the throne of grace and be frank about it. You ever have it out with God? Some people have. You know what? I'm not worried about the people who have it out with God. I'm worried about the ones who withdraw from Him. To come to God and say, well, God, why did you allow this to happen? Or why did you do this in my life? Or why was this the case? God, I'm pretty ticked off about this. You know what that's doing? It's coming to the throne of grace. I'm engaging God in my life and God is going to take me on. And that's not in the negative sense. That means He's going to accept me where I am and He's going to find a solution for my dilemma and He's going to be the solution to my issues. You see, that throne of grace is my solution. And so I don't try to hide in front of God. I come boldly to Him and I say, God, I got this nasty little wart here. I'm not going to hide it from you. You do something about it. How many people though feel like they have to somehow pretend? People do this with other people all the time. Right? They feel like they have to make themselves look a certain way for other people when they know very well that's not really the way they are, but they don't think they'll be estimated as being spiritual if they don't look that way. Well, I got news for you. It's not impressing. You don't need to do that. The fear of man is a snare. It's a trap to go there. It's a way to live in a religious burden to go there. Recently, I was talking to a person. They had sustained an injury. And I asked them about this injury. They said, I'm a little tired of people asking me how I am. would you expect? This person is a very godly individual, spirit-filled person. How many would expect an answer from them if you say how they are? Say, well, I have a problem, but I'm trusting God and I'm really doing great in my heart. You know what they felt like? You know what they said to me? The injury was to their head. They said to me, I wish I could cut my head off because this is driving me nuts. Now, that's not exactly what a lot of people would anticipate hearing from a spirit-filled, spirit-led individual who loves God and has been around forever. But you know what? It was right on the money. It wasn't a negative confession. It was an honest confession with a positive attitude toward God. You see, a negative confession is only when I become negative toward God. If I break my arm, I cannot say my arm is doing great because I believe in God. Well, you know what? Your arm's going to be hurting worse and worse until you do something about it. Sometimes as Christians, we have this tendency to try to put ourselves or other people in this kind of a box where we refuse to admit the obvious. If you break your arm, it hurts. This person is feeling horrible 99% of the time. And they wish they could cut their head off. Because they are in severe pain and they're really getting sick of it. And it's not a negative confession. Pastor Hadley said something once. He said, life is hard, but God is good. There's your positive confession. When his daughter died, he didn't say, oh, this is wonderful, I'm trusting God. We don't need to pretend for God. And we don't actually need to pretend for anybody who's spirit-filled. There's a tendency to think that spirituality is equivalent with denial. But it's not. Spirituality is knowing where to take my problem. But it's not denying the problem. The woman who had the issue of blood did not deny the issue of blood. If you asked the woman with the issue of blood, how are you doing? She wouldn't say, oh, I'm doing wonderful. I believe God. No, this woman was desperate and she was afraid. And this is why she snuck up behind the Savior rather than coming directly to Him. Because she was desperate and she was afraid. And her desperation made her overcome her fear. And she didn't feel like she was doing just great because she believed in God. But she knew where to go with the problem. And so she sneaks up behind the Savior, touches the hem of His garment, and she's completely healed. Up till that very point, she was not a happy camper. But today's mentality in some cases would actually judge this poor woman for the tribulation she was going through. That's not God's heart. God is not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. If I'm a train wreck, there's nothing spiritual about trying to deny, at least to God, that I'm a train wreck. Now, you don't air out your dirty laundry, granted, but nevertheless, you don't hide from God as to what you really are, or how you feel, or who you are. You go boldly, frankly, to the throne of grace, and you lay it out there right in front of Him. There's nothing wrong with being a human being. You were made that way. God made us human. And so we come frankly to the throne of grace and we find mercy in time of need. This is what we find there. We find mercy in time of need. God's not going to beat you up just because you don't have it together in your own opinion. Because I've got news for you. You know when you're going to have it together? The day when you go home to be with the Lord. So don't beat yourself up too much if you don't feel like you have it all together. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. And then you'll grow. You're never going to quite achieve everything. The most frustrated person is the one that thinks they can. Because they're living in non-reality. By the way, parents, you're not going to make your children perfect. And I don't care how hard you try. Because you are not God. And they are human beings. They're not going to be any more perfect than you are. And you need to be okay with that. Doesn't give them a license to sin, but it does mean they're human. And if you think to yourselves that your children are your fault if they do something wrong, no, it's the fault of their own little old sin nature. They weren't born without one, and you're not going to take it from them. This is why the cross came. You can't live in that kind of a hang-up. But you go boldly to the throne of grace, and there you find help in time of need. And you tell God all about it, and you lay it out on the table. You want to complain? Complain to God. You want to be negative? Be negative to God. You want to be carnal? Be carnal to God. Why do I say that? Because He already knows. He already knows. And He's the only one who can actually do something about it. I think sometimes as believers we just need to relax a little. And we just need to know that God is faithful. And we need to accept the fact that we're not going to change things. What we can do is manifest the anointing. What we can do is let the love of God be shed abroad in our hearts and then through us. What we can do is draw near to God for ourselves, and then other people will see God as we do that. What we can do is receive enough from God so that when people are somehow unkind or cruel or situations are bad or something, that they'll see Christ in it. Pastor Stevens once said, we're totally getting off the topic of this message. Pastor Stevens once said, beautiful for situations. How many have heard that message? Beautiful for situations. Pastor Stevens said, what did he say about the situation? He said, you need the situation. The situation needs you. God needs you in the situation. And other people need you in the situation. Why? Because if you're in the situation, that means God is there. And without you there, God's not there. If somebody is unkind or cruel or hostile towards you, hey, face it, it happens to all of us. What do you do? Well, you realize that you need it. How do I need it? So that you can learn what it means to love with the love of God. The other person needs you. Why do they need it? So that they can realize what it means to be loved by the love of God. God needs you in the situation. God needs you there. Why? So that He can love that person with the love of God and love you in the situation with the love of God also. And the situation needs you. The whole mess needs you there. Why? So that God would be there. You Your solution is simple. Come boldly to the throne of grace and tell God all about it. Come boldly to the throne of grace and let God know everything you're thinking and everything you're feeling. Do you think He can't hear you? Religiously, we say, well, of course He can hear us. Practically, we say, I'm not so sure He can. Sometimes. I remember years ago, I was working at a summer camp. This was before I was even saved. Some of you know this story. There were these bunk houses on top of a mountain. We were looking across the way at the mountain across from us. It was a heavy, heavy thunderstorm. And we were being pelted with lightning. And we were sitting on the porch of the bunkhouse, and we were looking across the way at the other mountain, and a bolt of lightning hits that mountain. And the guy about one or two bunks down from me, he says, oh, come on, God, you can do better than that. The next lightning bolt hits about 3 yards from this guy. God heard him. And he wasn't even saved. You think He won't hear you when He shed His blood for you? Do you honestly think God will not hear you when He calls you His beloved? Do you honestly think that God would not be intimately concerned when He calls you His bride? Do you honestly think God would be callous when He says, I know the feelings of your infirmities? Do you honestly think God would be cold to your dilemma when He says, I love you with an everlasting love and with loving kindness I will draw you? Do you honestly think that God would be uncaring when He says, you are precious in my eyes, as Israel was backsliding, you are precious in my eyes, you've been honorable, I've loved you, and I will add people to your lives to help you out? Do you honestly think that would be God's attitude toward you? I'll bet anything there's somebody on the internet thinking right now, that's God's attitude toward me. You believed a lie. You did. Who is it that accuses God? The Father of all lies. If you honestly think that that is how God's going to treat you or be towards you, you believe the lie. Your premise is wrong. God's not going to reject you. And God's not going to leave you. The most repeated phrase in the Bible is His mercy endures forever. God's going to be entirely faithful to you. And I don't care what it is. I don't care if you caused it, I don't care if somebody else caused it, or I don't care if it just happened upon you. God is going to be entirely faithful to you. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. He's not going to ignore you. And He's not going to judge you in your circumstances. What He's going to do is He's going to deliver you. What He's going to do is He'll provide you with a solution and He'll fight your battles. What He's going to do is He will be the answer for your circumstance. And though you may feel very, very weak in that which you are facing, He will be very, very strong on your behalf. And He's going to lead you into a place where you have perfect peace and perfect rest. Why? He loves you. How many people don't actually believe that? But He does. Whether you want to believe it or not. The amazing thing is, the love of God is not dependent on my belief. The amazing thing is, God's faithfulness is not dependent on my faithfulness. The amazing thing is that God's perfection and God's grace toward me are not dependent on my perfection. He's just going to be who He is. And who He is faithful. And who He is the lover of your soul. And who He is the one who's going to provide all your needs. And who He is the one who's going to take care of it for you. And I don't care if you're the one who messed it up. And I don't care if somebody else messed it up for you. Or I don't care if it just got messed up and who knows how it happened. He will provide your need. And if you ask Him, He will answer. And He's not going to be cruel to you. And if you ask Him for bread, He's not going to give you a stone. He's not going to trick you. He's going to love you right where you are. And you don't have to change for Him. And you don't have to pretend for Him. Because He already knows. What you need to do is come boldly, come frankly to the throne of grace. I don't care what it is. Just come boldly to the throne of grace with it. And there you will find mercy and help for whatever it is that you need. And He's not going to be slow about it. He's not going to delay. He will bring it exactly as you need it. That's what it means. Find help in time of need. It's talking about the exact perfect time when you have a need, the help will come. Just relax and believe Him and trust Him. And know that He will be faithful. And know that His promises are yea and amen. And know that every single one of them are for you. And know that He will be true to you in all things. You don't have to live a life of frustration, anxiety, disappointment, fear, wounds, guilt. You're not meant to. You are meant to trust Him. And if you can achieve that much, and everyone has a measure of faith, you don't need a lot of faith. You just need the faith of the right sort. In other words, I trust Him. It's not that hard. By the way, guys, how many of you guys, show of hands please, how many people in this room do not trust that when they get in their car, it will take them home today? Now, some of you may be a little more iffy than others, I realize that. But I'll guarantee you, if you didn't trust it, you wouldn't have brought it here this morning. Unless you're absolutely insane. How many of you do not trust that the chairs you're sitting in will hold you up? Like, you trust your car, didn't you? You got in it this morning. How many of you have never had a car break down? Oh, you got a brand new car. You still got in it. You trust the car more than you trust the one who can't fail. God will take care of it. And by the way, parents, I don't know, for some reason I feel like I'm talking to parents in some ways. God will take care of your kids. Right? By virtue of being in your family, saved or not, they have an affiliation with the kingdom of God. God's aware of them, and He'll take care of your family. Hey, young people, God will take care of your circumstances. And whatever it is that seems so huge in your life, God will take care of it. He'll take care of your relationships. It's very normal for young people to be very concerned about relationships. What isn't normal is to not trust Him in them. He'll take care of those relationships. And when the time is right, God will bring the right person. You don't have to strive in it. If you have a kid who's not right with God in some way, and I don't know who is and who isn't, but trust that He loves your kid more. Not as much, more than you do. You see, you may have had the kid, but God made the dirt that made the kid. And He has a plan for them that was initiated before the foundation of the world. And He knows them intimately. Hey, if there's somebody unsaved in your life, a loved one, a family member, trust that God wants them saved even more than you do. And He's not unaware of how to make it happen. And He loves them more than any human, because He was the only one who shed His blood for them. The solution in life is very simple. And sometimes it almost seems too simple, but it's nevertheless absolutely true. You trust Him. And you come to the throne of grace, and you find your help as He gives you mercy in the exact time of your need. Amen?